while since I've stood here. Brother Johnny, will you pray for us?
Please come. Worship you, Lord, and thank you for speaking to us. Use our brother to us. Grateful to you for this wonderful joy, truth, and opportunity this hour to assemble the saints. We ask you, Lord, to invade our thinking and send forth the power of your Spirit to open understanding, open hearts. And now give brother the liberty and presence of mind as he shares your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dark providence. Has anyone experienced dark providence in their lives? And when we're going through it, we have a lot of questions. And we wonder, you know, if I'm a child of God, why would I be going through this? But in those moments, God teaches us, doesn't he? And we need to learn that in those times of adversity, when we don't feel love, that God loves us. And those very things that he uses in our life in a time of dark providence sometimes are the way that he writes his law on the very fleshy tables of our heart. And we spend a lot of time reading and studying, listening to preachers, and trying to grasp deeper truths. But when God writes it on your heart, brother, then you got it. And I like to think of them as the manifestations of Christ. When Christ is made manifest to you, that's how you're saved. Well, brother, no, that happened. Yes. One time I brought a brother down here to camp years ago, and he was having a little trouble with whether or not he could be a Christian with all he was going through. And I took him to a place to eat, and we were sitting there, and as he was eating his shrimp, he looked at me and he said, "My salvation is happening right now." And I said, "Well, brother, I hope so. I hope that we're continually growing and learning, and God's doing a work in your heart." And I was at Brother Conrad's earlier this afternoon, and when the brothers asked me if I'd do the devotional, I paused for a while, and I thought, well, you know, that's not a whole lot of notice, and I really ought to have some time. You know, I didn't bring a tie. I hope brother, my mother's not here though, so I think I'm okay. You know, I just thought, well, you know, I'll just share something that God's done for me. And I guess that's what a devotional is, Brother Gilbert. I had the blessing of teaching young children for a while in my church. And I had a lady one time, and I got to thinking, well, that's not that important of a deal, but I was very glad in my heart that I could do it. And she told me something she'd read about Spurgeon, and he said, "It's a great honor for a man to teach the Sabbath school." And that's what we need more of, is men that are willing to teach the children the things of God. But another wise man told me that I was going to learn more teaching them than they were going to learn from me teaching them. And that was true. And I want us to just turn to the book of Ruth. Whenever I get where I really don't know what to do, I usually ask my wife and see what she has to say. And you know, there's some great women in the Bible and great stories in the Bible, and I just think sometimes we can see something that we haven't seen a certain way. And God showed me something, and maybe he showed this to you before, but there's been a lot of talk, from what I understand. I haven't been in a lot of the meetings. I had some other things to take care of while I was down here, and there's been a lot of stuff talking about God's providence and how to know his will and how to gain wisdom and do the right thing. But I'm going to just start in chapter 2. We're going to read some verses, and then I got just one little quick thing to say about this. It said in Naomi, and we know kind of her situation. This was a woman who had experienced some dark providence in her life. But she had made a choice to go, and Ruth went with Naomi, and she ended up in this situation that worked out well. And we all know that, you know, this story and the redemption story that's here is so beautiful to us, as we've seen this happen in our lives, and we've seen a great loving Savior who was a kinsman willing and able to redeem us. She had a kinsman and her husband, a mighty man of wealth from the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And he, behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless thee." And he said, then said Boaz unto his servants that was set over the reapers, "Whose damsel is?" And the servants that was set over the reapers answered and said, "It is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab." And she said, "I pray to you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and she continued. Now take note of this. She had come out of dark providence, and now she has come into the providence of goodwill. And she took advantage of it. She realized what a great blessing this was. And so she came, and she continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house, and said Boaz unto Ruth, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young man that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn." And she fell on her face, and she bowed herself to the ground, and she said unto him, "Why have I found grace?" When was the last time you admitted that sincerely in his providence? "Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger?" And Boaz answered, and he said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come to a people which thou knewest not heretofore, strangers in a pilgrim land. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Grace. Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for that thou hast comforted me, and for that thou hast spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like one of thine handmaids." And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, "Come thou hither, come and dine, and eat of the bread, and dip of the morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and she reached her parched corn, and she did eat. And she was sufficed, and she left. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young man, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not." Providence, the goodness of God, gleaned handfuls left for her. We've all experienced those, haven't we? Lean handfuls. Just laying there. You didn't do anything. You didn't dig the well. You're drinking the water. Lean handfuls. And she faithfully gathered them up. And when she has risen up to glean, Moses commanded his young man, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, which are not. Now here's the thing. She gathered those morsels and those kernels of corn or barley, whatever that was. But she also went out and gathered the sheaves. And she took full advantage of God's providence. When he made a way, she walked in it. When he made a provision, she took advantage of it. And brother, not only did she take just enough, like so many want, they just want to get a little something. But not Ruth. She said, I want to glean as much as I can. And she gathered the sheaves. You know what she did? She gleaned in the field until even. Oh, brothers and sisters, I hope you understand this. And she went to the threshing floor, remember? And she beat out that she had gleaned. Brother, there isn't anything like the word that you've beaten out yourself. You need to show yourself approved. We talk about that. What's that mean? I had a young man one time bought a guitar, like B.B. King's guitar. And I said, well, you know, he said, you can buy B.B. King's guitar, but it don't mean you can play like him. And that's true. So many books we have on our shelves and so many men that we idolize, the great reformers that we study. But that's not you threshing it out, brother. That's someone else's threshing. Conrad Murrell told me one time, a lot of these preachers got big libraries. They're just not reading any of the books in them. And that's great advice, brother. We need to read and we need to study. But we can't live our lives as Christians based on what someone else's journey or providence was about. You need your own story. You need to be able to tell someone like that man that wanted to go with Jesus. He said, go back to your place and tell everybody what great things God has done for you. And when you do that, it ministers life. It ministers life. People want to hear about what God's done for you. I have a habit of asking a lot of people when I meet them, what's fresh? What's God doing in your life? And an older saint one time told me, I never had anybody ask me like that like you do all the time. You ask like you really expect somebody to have something fresh. I said, well, I hope so. I hope so. I hope you're not living on stale bread, brothers and sisters. You see, we all get concerned about all the rules and regulations and what we should do and what we shouldn't do and what he should be doing and what, you know, I need to watch him, make sure he doesn't do that, and I need to examine this guy. No, you just examine yourself. You take that beam out of your own eye. You thresh out your own barley. And all those things just kind of take care of themselves. All of a sudden, you find out, I got so much I can work on in my own life that I don't need to be busy about what someone else is doing. And you know what? That ministers to people. Because you aren't judging them. You're just walking with Jesus. Walking with your Savior. Hallelujah. I've been redeemed. You know, we get so busy about wanting to know all the truth, we forget about loving people. Well, Ruth didn't forget about someone that was back at the house. And she went to that threshing floor at night. And you know, Brother Gilbert, he could probably go into a big, long story about what she was doing and how them kernels were flying out of there. And every time one hit, she was just wanting to grab every one of them and put them in her basket. I don't know all that happened there. I don't know if she even had really permission to be there. But there wasn't anybody else there, and it was nighttime, and she was getting it done. Because God had made a provision for her. And she took it, and she did all that she could do with it. I have a lot of young men that talk to me about problems in their life, and I'm pretty simple about what I tell them. Because most of the time I know they're not walking in the very little bit of life they have. And if they would just walk in the life that God's given them, God will give them some more life. You want to know the will of God? That's what the brother's saying. We can talk about the scriptures all we want, but if we don't just simply walk out and enjoy our Lord's provisions, we miss all the blessing. I'm so thankful for this place. And I'm so thankful for the man who threshed out barley. But I'm going to tell you something. When she brought that threshed out barley or corn and gave it to Naomi, oh my, Naomi, it nourished her. But it meant so much more to Ruth. Have you ever had that feeling? You could help someone and they thought you were the most wonderful person in the world for the tidbit of knowledge you were able to impart to them, but it was so much greater to you because you lived it and God gave it to you and you threshed it out. And I would admonish you, if God gives you an opportunity, whatever it may be, take advantage of it. Sweat it out. Thresh it out. And brother, if you get a chance someday, after years of dark providence and trouble, you can take some of that barley you threshed out and you can serve it up to someone else. And they'll go, that's good. But you'll go, nah, that's really good. Thank you, brothers and sisters.